From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned now for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns has been preaching on the Spirit of Revival, part of his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. It is a fact that God's people, individually as well as corporately, fail to experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and to feel that the Lord has withdrawn Himself. Among the causes are failure to confess sin, failure to lament the spiritual dearth, and a lack of experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yet, seasons of declension in the church are never beyond the power of the Holy Spirit. The history of the Christian church has been marked by conditions that seemed hopeless, and yet God raised up men full of the Holy Ghost, and revival became a reality. In concluding the message, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that in such seasons of declension, Christians should be much in prayer for revival in the church. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the message, the Reverend Colin Mercer, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, reports that during his recent visit to the Czech Republic, Pope Benedict called upon his flock to remember Christian tradition.
Recently, as Pope Benedict XVI continued with his global crusade of boosting the Roman Catholic Church, he took his message of Roman dogma to the Czech Republic. As is his normal practice on such visits, a massive open-air mass was organized. It's estimated that 120,000 people packed a field beside an airport for what was expected to be the largest turnout of his trip. A Vatican spokesman said it was the largest turnout for a mass in the history of the Czech Republic. During his address, the Roman Pope had this to say: "History has demonstrated the absurdities to which man descends when he excludes God from the horizon of his choices and actions." No doubt he was referring to those outside the Roman Catholic Church. But a careful examination of his words indicate that they are perfectly suited to the situation within the Roman Catholic Church. And I say that for this reason. That church, having departed from the Word of God and elevated the traditions of the Fathers, has descended into absurd beliefs and behavior. Think of it, what could be more absurd than claiming Christ is reoffered in the Mass, that the wafer and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ? Remember, the scriptures plainly teach that Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and that this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Yet Rome teaches that at every Mass Christ is reoffered. What could be more absurd than claiming the priests and popes of Rome can forgive sin, when it clearly states in the Word of God that no man can forgive sins but God only? A sinner, like a pope, like a priest, cannot forgive the sin of another sinner. What could be more absurd than claiming Mary deserves our worship? Mary was a blessed virgin. I have no desire to reject what the Bible teaches about Mary, but the Bible does not teach that Mary was sinless. Rather, it reveals that she acknowledged and rejoiced in God as her Saviour. She worshipped the Lord, and is not to take His place in our worship. What would be more absurd than claiming that purgatory is real and that souls can only be released on the whim and fancy of a pope when a certain amount of money has been paid? Let's not forget that the Bible only speaks of heaven and hell. There is no halfway house, not even the money-spinning doctrine of Rome's purgatory. What could be more absurd than praying to the saints? Rome has built a whole system of prayers to dead saints. What they fail to mention is that the only case in the Bible of a person praying to a saint is recorded in Luke 16, and it involves a man who was in hell and whose prayer was not answered. Not much of an incentive to pray to the saints. I could go on and on and on. But it's obvious that when men, when religions depart from the Word of God, as the Roman Catholic Church has, all kinds of absurdities follow. What's the answer to this? Forget the teachings of the Roman Church and any other false system and consider and obey the plain message of the Gospel. Christ is the answer. He is the only one who can meet the spiritual needs of sinners. Salvation is not in a church, either the Roman Church or a Reformed Church. Salvation is in Christ. Though he was God, he became man, the eternal God-man, the sole mediator between God and man, and Christ alone can save the soul. Sinners do not need more religion, more dogmas, more traditions, more absurdities. They need Christ as he is freely offered in the Gospel. May the Church of Christ be busy preaching up the Lord Jesus, for as he is preached, he will draw men unto himself.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
want to tell you that for a man to stand up and say, I'm against Rome, I'm against the World Council of Churches, I'm against the communists, I'm against this, I'm against the other thing, and there is no preaching of Christ. There is none of the fire and the life-transforming power of Christ. I tell you, for a man to do that is to add to the problem, not to solve it. There were in those days a carnal clergy, ministers. Thank God the nonconformist churches weren't nearly so bad in this regard, but a carnal clergy, ministers who were so taken up with this world. Do we not have those to men today? Do we not have this in the pulpit and in the pew? People who are more taken up with the business of this world than they are with the business of eternity. We had also the separatists, the nonconformists, the Presbyterians, the Congregationalists, the Baptists. They were all there in England in the 18th century. But they were stagnant separatists. Their preaching was cold. They were weak many times in theology. And those who weren't split up with needless divisions. I don't need to draw the parallel with today. It's too plain for anybody to miss. And the result was a godless nation. Yes, my friend, that was England before the Great Awakening. God in His grace raised a small handful of men, starting in the University of Oxford. And in grace in other places, as in Wales, He was preparing other small handfuls of men. At the same time over in New England, He was dealing with other small numbers of men. And He was warming their hearts. They were usually men of great intellect. Here in the United States, the leader of the revival was, at least in New England, Jonathan Edwards. Arguably the greatest philosophical and theological intellect this country has ever produced. These were usually men of great intellect. But it wasn't their intellect that brought revival. These were men whose hearts God had touched. Thank God, they found that however dark the day, it was not beyond the power of the Spirit of God. He is able. You could very easily get disappointed in our day, but it's not beyond the power of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the final thing I note is this, that in seasons of declension in the church, we should be much in prayer for revival from the Spirit of God. There's a striking verse toward the end of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 62. Verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord. Marginal reading. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers. You who are God's reminders. Keep not silence. And give Him no rest till He establish and till He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What an injunction. I have set watchmen. Who are the watchmen? They are the men who mount the tower of prayer. They are the men who are there to remind God of His covenant. God says to these prayer warriors, though he even seems to suffer long with them, he says, give your God no rest until he establishes Jerusalem, until he pours out his Spirit, until he sends revival. Why and how can you do that? The answer, verse 8, the Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. And he goes on to give the promise. We have a God of covenant faithfulness. We have a God who has given his promise, and therefore we ought to pray, and that without ceasing, giving him no rest until he send us revival. You listen to his promise, Isaiah 41 and 17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I've often pointed out in reading that verse in prayer meetings that these are not just people who are finding it hard to pray. These are people who are so weak that they can hardly utter a word in prayer. Their tongue feels for thirst. With spiritual thirst, their tongue, as it were, has swollen in their mouth, and they are incapable of great wordiness in prayer, but with a broken heart, they're before God. And it says, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll open up the rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I'll make the wilderness a pool of water. And so on. Revival promised. There's a beautiful promise in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. How often we need to plead it. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. Floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed. My, here's a promise for every Christian parent to be pleading. Here's a promise for every father and every mother worried about their children growing up in this sinful and adulterous generation, in this day when the devil is using every art and every device to damn their souls. Lord, give me water. Give me the floods on this dry ground and pour out your Spirit on my seed. That's the promise that he gives us. What a promise it is. Those who have heard the tape of the Isle of Lewis revival will remember that in one part of the island, as they were praying and the revival had not broken there, one old elder of the church got up in the middle of the night in an all-night prayer meeting and lifted his heart to God with these words, Lord, thou hast said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. Lord, as best I know my heart, I am thirsty. And he called on God, yea, challenged God, that he would now fulfill his covenant promise. And God did it. With immeasurable power. Therefore we can pray. Isaiah prayed in 64 and verse 1, Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. When I come to church, when I come to the meetings, that is very, very frequently my prayer. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens today. God, take us out of the ordinary. We were singing from the 85th Psalm, the prayer of the psalmist for revival. And what did he cry? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Habakkuk prayed, chapter 3 and verse 2, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Now these are the prayers we ought to be praying. And praying them will entail having the Lord deal with us. As we come to the close of this meeting this morning, if you're a Christian, I want you to realize when you pray, God send revival, you're praying that God will start dealing with your sin and start dealing with your carnality and start dealing with everything in your life that's grieving to God. In the 80th Psalm, I commend it much to your very careful perusal. Pray through it. In the 80th Psalm, the psalmist is looking back on what the Lord did. He's the shepherd of Israel. He sits between the cherubim. He led Joseph like a flock. And yet here they were in an awful situation. And what's he praying? He's praying, Lord, stir yourself up. Stir up your strength before your people. But as soon as he starts to pray for revival, what happens? God starts to convict him of sin. And he prays, turn us, O God. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. 3 times in that psalm, he prays, turn us, O God. Then, O Lord God. And then, O Lord God of hosts. The 3 great descriptions of our God. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of hosts. He's the God of the covenant. And here we're praying, Lord, turn us to yourself. You know, you can pay all the lip service you will to revival, but while you're a carnal man, you're just a liar before God. Now, I know that's a strong thing to say to a Christian or one who names the name of Christ. My friend, if you pay lip service before God and the things of God, and you've a heart yet uncircumcised, you've a heart that's still set on the world, and you're more interested in jobs and money and houses and lands and pleasures and pastimes than you are in your God, then you may have a name that you live. You've got to wonder, are you not yet dead? You're going to pray for revival. You're praying that God will deal with your sin and the thing that grieves His Holy Spirit. Judgment must begin at the house of God. The temple has to be purified. Must be then dedicated to the Lord. What a beautiful picture it is. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This church and every other church that's true to Christ is a living temple of the living Christ. When the temple is cleansed and dedicated to Christ, then the Spirit of the Lord will fill the house of the Lord. And we will then again prove the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit of revival. May God make that our real experience for His name's sake.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.